right. Hey, good evening, folks. Good to see you here tonight. And we have some side entertainment for your viewing pleasure. Mom's dying right now.
Oh, no.
But that's okay. We expect that on Christmas program night. So glad y'all could be with us. And I know we got a lot of visitors here to see the young ones in their Christmas program tonight. We want to welcome you. And hopefully I get a chance to shake every one of your hands. But don't quiz me on your names if you see me tomorrow at Walmart or something like that. I'll just say, hey, hi, yeah, I'll just act like I know you or something. But sure good to have you with us tonight. The weather's been wonderful. Years past, we've had issues with weather and sicknesses, and I think we only have a couple of youngsters that are sick, so we're feeling blessed right now. And we're going to go ahead and sing a song together. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, familiar Christmas carol, Joy to the World. Sharing with someone earlier, we have to do one of these kids programs every service because I have people sitting down front that never sit down front. It's amazing how that works. But they have the reserve signs on their seats in the back, just so you know. But we're going to go ahead and make some presentations at this time. We have some gifts that we usually do every Christmas to the little ones that we don't get to see. Except right now, they're normally in the nursery. And so we have some baby ornaments that we'd like to present to them right now. When I call their name, if mom or dad or both could go ahead and bring them up. And then afterwards, feel free to take them to the nursery. Okay, we have Luke. Is Luke here tonight? Yes, he is. Come on up here. Dad's got him tonight. All the way up. Luke, you going to smile for everybody? No? I'll hand this to you, Dad. All right. And Wyatt. Where's Wyatt? Here he comes. He does? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to stay up here the whole night. Right. The kids will just all move around you and stuff like that. There we go. And then we have another one, the newest one, Sawyer, but he's at home right now and just a real little guy. So we're thankful for our little guys in the nursery and also the workers that are normally in the nursery with them as well. So again, we have a worker waiting anxiously right now for these little guys. So thank you very much. You guys can be seated. I'll ask our ushers if they'll come, please, at this time. Now, we're going to do something that we always do at every service, and that is take an offering. And if you're visiting with us, please don't feel obligated in any way to participate. You can just pass that plate on down. It's just an opportunity for us that are members here to, it's just a way for us to worship God through our giving and say thank you to Him for all He's done for us. Rusty, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Father, we thank you, Savior, Lord, for the
soften hearts tonight, dear Lord, here to the gospel. And ask us in your son's holy name, I pray. Amen.
Emma. Just as a reminder, too, Wednesday night of this week, we don't have our normal Bible study and prayer meeting time, but at 6 o'clock, we will be meeting here if you'd like to join us to go Christmas caroling, and we'll leave here at the church at 6 o'clock. So, without any further ado, we'll have our children come in.
Thank you. up?
I need your help rounding up some Christmas signs.
No problem. Signs are everywhere.
But these need to be signs that tell the Christmas story.
The Christmas story?
But there weren't any signs in the Christmas story.
Probably not, but I thought if we rounded up the right signs, people around here might be reminded of the true meaning of Christmas, God's gift of a Savior to the world.
Good idea.
But where do we find signs that remind us of the birth of a Savior?
All around you. Check this out.
That's not a Christmas sign.
The Bible says that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem.
And so did a lot of other people.
Right, and when they got there, they couldn't find a place. And they needed a place because Mary was about to have a baby.
Oh, I get it. The innkeeper probably put up a no vacancy sign. Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn.
Exactly. Even with the no vacancy sign in the window, God had prepared a special place for them to stay. No vacancy was the first of many Christmas signs. Now spread out and see what Christmas signs you can find.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
Did you find a sign? How did these signs help tell the Christmas story?
Jesus was born so Mary and Joseph had a new baby and a family.
And when there's a new baby around, we've got to be extra quiet.
Because babies sleep a lot.
Thank you.
What's wrong?
I've looked everywhere, and I can't find a Christmas sign.
Don't give up yet. I'm sure you'll find a sign somewhere.
I'm not so sure, but I'll keep looking.
Hey, look what I found.
Great sign.
Whenever you see this sign, you know that sheep are in the area.
And shepherds. Did you know that the shepherds were the first people to hear about the Savior?
I can't imagine spending sleepy night in the field watching sheep.
The angels that announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds were surrounded by bright light.
So the shepherds didn't have a sleepy night in the field after all?
No, their sleepy night had a few surprises.
Exactly.
Luke 2:10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Sing?
Sing.
I get it. The angels started to
sing.
Then the shepherds started to
sing.
What should we do when we hear about Jesus and his birth on Christmas Day?
Sing.
I will sing a song of praise. I will sing a song of praise. I will
the wise men? What Christmas sign tells us of their part in the Christmas story?
Get your gold, get your frankincense, get your myrrh, only $2. Wise men souvenirs, get them while they're hot.
I'm not sure this is what I had in mind.
Just kidding. The wise men needed a sign to follow. God gave them a sign, a star, and the star led them to Bethlehem.
Matthew 2:11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Follow the star wherever it goes. Follow
what?
The perfect sign. The angel said there would be a sign.
You're right, and the sign would be that they would find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.
That's the sign we need for Christmas.
Decided that we needed a sign that invites everyone to a manger. This is from the famous Christmas song, "O Come All You Faithful."
Oh, that's too stuffy. "Y'all Come" sounds better.
It does not.
Oh, come on, guys. What's important is that everyone is welcome to the Christmas celebration, right?
Right.
Come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
found it. I found a sign.
Help wanted.
We need help getting the birth of the Savior out so everyone knows about the birth of Jesus.
You're right. We all found signs that reminded us of the true meaning of Christmas, but they're not doing any good in that box. We need your help to get the good news and the signs out to the whole world. Let's get busy.
Help, one again.
someone jumped off the stage. That was great. Appreciate all of their hard work, and appreciate all the signs, too. It's interesting how they tied all of those to the Christmas story. And yet, you know, those aren't the only signs that we have. There are real biblical signs that the Bible talks about. Signs that are alerting us to that moment in time, sometime, we don't know when Christ will return. And there are a lot of opinions, I guess you might say, as far as what is a real sign, what isn't a sign. Is Jesus coming soon? Is he coming later? I don't know. How's that for an answer from a pastor, huh? But the Bible says that no man knows the hour when Christ will return. In fact, the return of Christ is compared to a thief in the night. Just like you don't anticipate when someone's going to rob your home. We can't anticipate when Christ is coming. But certainly the signs are all pointing to a return of Christ sooner rather than later. You know, when we look at the entire Bible, there are, I'm just going to say, lots of different opinions about different beliefs that there are in the Bible. And no doubt with this large of a group here tonight, we all have our different thoughts and ideas about what the Bible says about this issue or that cultural issue. And if we could, let's just set aside all of those different beliefs that we have tonight and just consider what Jesus himself said about going to heaven. He said this in John chapter 14, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." It's a great promise. Christ is coming again to receive us to heaven. He says that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas, one of his disciples, said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Christ said it himself. It has to be through him. Not your church, not my church, not my beliefs, not your beliefs. Our churches and our beliefs really are irrelevant. What does God say about going to heaven? I like to illustrate it this way. If I were to show up at your door here in the next few days, not asking for a handout, but if I showed up at your door, knock on the door, right? That's culturally, socially, that's how we do it. I knock on the door, you come to the door, and you're going to remember me from tonight. And you're going to be just so overjoyed with emotion that you're going to say, "Oh, please come in," right? Maybe. What does he want? But I'm going to knock on the door. You're going to say, "Oh, come on in." We'll sit down and we'll visit for a little bit. And that's the way it works, right? But if I come to your house at, say, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm climbing through a back window, I'm not going to be so welcome, am I? You're going to greet me, but it might be with the business end of a shotgun or something. Now, I could stand back all offended and say, "Oh, how dare you? You're supposed to love people. Don't you love me?" And you would think that's ridiculous, wouldn't you? Why? It's your home. You get to decide how people come into your house. Now, your house, you may allow people to crawl in the window at 2 in the morning, but not my house, okay? You'll be greeted the same way at my house. And why do we get to decide how someone comes into our home? Well, it's our home. Heaven is God's home. He gets to decide. That's why I said earlier, our churches and our beliefs are really irrelevant. It comes down to what God says. One of the beliefs today is that if we are good enough, we'll get to go into heaven. If I'm nice enough, you'll let me crawl in your window at 2 a.m. No, that still doesn't work. We have a lot of different ideas, people do, about how they're going to get into God's home when their life here ends. But all that matters is, what is God's rule for entering his house? And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that simply means this. The way into God's house, the way into heaven when we die, which we're all going to die, that's a sure thing, some point in life. And most people want to go to heaven to some extent, whatever their knowledge of heaven is. They want to be there instead of, you know, the other place. So how do we get there? Well, as I mentioned, some people believe if I'm good enough, God's going to let me in. If I do enough good things to outweigh the bad things, God's going to let me in. And yet, God said it's not of works. It is through faith. Faith, we're trusting something. What are we trusting? Well, we're trusting that gift that Jesus came here as a baby to give us, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, and most people are familiar with that, the cross that we see in churches, Jesus died on that cross, paid the penalty for our sins, and so he offers us a pardon, forgiveness for our sins. Well, some people reject that and say, I'm going to try climbing in a window at 2 a.m. It's not going to work. I'm just telling you what God says here. It is one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I trust that you have accepted that gift at some point in your life. For me, I was 19. I guess I was a slow learner. And I'd been in church all my life, and it just didn't sink in. But then at 19, I realized, looking at my life, which was a mess at that time, but then looking at what God's Word says, it doesn't matter how many times I was in church. It didn't matter how many specials I played with my French horn in church. It didn't matter how many times I led singing for the kids in junior church. None of that mattered. I read in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, it said, "All of the good things that I've done are as filthy rags in God's sight." Well, that left me in a tough spot. Because all of the good things that I did, I realized God said they're not good enough. So how am I going to get to heaven? Then I realized I needed to trust in what Jesus did on the cross for us. There's a Christmas song out there, "Born to Die." It's what Jesus did. He was born so he could die to pay the penalty for our sins. It's a wonderful gift to receive. God offers it, no strings attached. It's a free gift. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift, right? I wonder if there's anyone here tonight who's never received that gift. I like to ask the question this way. If you were to die tonight, man, we never like to think about that. But it could happen. If that were you, would you be in heaven 1 second after your heart stopped beating? If you're not sure, God says he gave us these words so that we could know that we have eternal life. No "hope so," "I think so," "I should be okay." There's no Saint Peter at the pearly gates waiting to hear us plead our case. We're either there or we're not there. And it's based on what we do with the gift that Jesus offers us today. Would you bow your heads, please? Everyone's heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. We're not going to ask anyone to do anything at all tonight that might embarrass you. But I do want to ask you this very important question. Aside from all of the Christmas festivities and the pageantry that we have at Christmas, the programs, the kids, the costumes, the presents, the lights, the trees, all of that, when it comes down to it, there's a gift that God is offering you. He's been offering it to you all of your life. Maybe you've been rejecting that gift. Maybe you've never really taken any time to even think about it. Would you think about that tonight? Whatever your beliefs, my beliefs, we need to set those aside and look at what God has clearly said about entering his house. Would God let you in his house tonight? If you're not sure, would you let me pray for you? Now, me praying for you isn't going to get you there, because again, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. But I would just pray for you that you would continue to think and consider and ponder where you're going to spend eternity. And if you'd like to know about how to receive that gift, we would love to have someone show you from God's word how you can know that. All I'm going to ask you to do tonight is, if you're not sure, would you let me pray for you? If you're not sure, would you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just raise your hand for me? I'll see that. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to nail you in the lobby or anything like that. But just, would you let me pray for you? Anyone at all like that tonight? Uplifted hand, say, Pastor, I'm not really sure, but man, I'm thinking about it. Anyone at all? Heavenly Father, God, as we close here tonight, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus coming to this earth. Thank you for what he did for us on the cross, the gift that you offer to all of us. And Lord, I pray for these folks here tonight, the children that had a part in presenting that message. I pray for each one of them, God, if they're not sure, that they would not dismiss the truths that they have heard here tonight, the signs that are everywhere, the signs of Christmas, all pointing to what Jesus did for us. And God, I pray you would just work in their hearts, your spirit, speaking to their spirit, Lord, about their need for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.